Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Infinite Snap podcast. I'm your host, Shadow DTV, also known as Richie, and we've got my boy Justin here as always. How you doing?
Very good, feeling refreshed after the break.
Yes, we've had a bit of a break. We did a short episode last week. I briefly went through all the Savage Land updates, but we're going to get Justin's opinion on them today. If you are watching the video version of the podcast, which you can catch on YouTube at Shadow DTV, we've got some new visuals that we were working on over the break, some more Marvel Snap themed visuals. Justin, I haven't actually told you this yet, but as you can see, our cards are currently empty at the moment. I had a very good idea. We'll figure out our energy costs at some point, but our power is going to be based on how many points we get playing Snap Who. As time goes on, our cards will get stronger and stronger, which will be very interesting. But guys, let's go through what we're going to go through today. We've got a ton to get through. As you guys know, we've had a couple weeks off. So we're going to discuss what decks we've been playing. I mean, we've had a few weeks to test out some decks. Of course, the Savage Land season has started. So we briefly went through on a short episode last week what the new season has, but we're going to get Justin's opinion on everything and quickly go through everything, I guess, briefly. We're going to take a look at the meta. A bunch of Zabu decks are doing very well, so we're going to go through some deck lists, talk about those. There is a patch coming that has been delayed it's been about a week now, but we did get the patch notes. Most people would already know that they did kind of get leaked through the Korean Marvel Snap social media. I believe it seems like they had it they had it scheduled to post, and they obviously didn't cancel it when it got delayed. So that went out. So we've got that translated for you guys. So we'll go through patch notes that should come, I'd assume, this week. And then we're going to talk about battle mode. It is coming soon, where like everyone is so excited for it. And I wanted to address a couple of things I've been seeing in the Marvel Snap community, people discussing toxicity in Marvel Snap, and I guess an extension, video games. So we're going to discuss a little bit about that as well. Guys, we're about to get straight into it. If you haven't already, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Infinite Snap Pod. And then you've also got our personal handles at Shadow DTV and at Jizzy036 or JZZY036. So go and follow us there as well. Chat's popping off. Hey, everyone in chat. Wes, thank you for the holiday wishes. Let's get straight into the episode. All right. So first up, Justin, how was your holidays? Good?
Pretty good. Nice and chill. Started work today, so really getting back into it. Work and the podcast.
Yep. Okay. So back at it this week.
Back at it this week and playing Marvel Snap all the way through, which is good.
Yeah. I think like the holidays kind of gave us a break, gave us some time to, I guess, focus on just playing Marvel Snap, not thinking about, you know, making content, the podcast, finding things to talk about. I know the game has so much content, but it can be a little tricky when you've got a weekly show discussing things. You know, you don't want a 20-minute episode every week. So, Justin, having fun with the game, playing some spicy decks, I'm sure.
Yeah, having fun with the game. I've actually unlocked like a few cards during the 2 weeks that we've been off.
Awesome, that's good.
Yeah, it's series 4 and 5 cards. So I've been trying like just different decks, not too stressed about hitting infinite. I think last season I finished at about 95. I didn't go all the way there.
Just
wasn't too stressed about it. The title feels, you know, the title that you get hitting infinite feels like good if you get it, but not like, it's not like you're missing out on too much if you don't get it. That's what it feels like for me anyway.
Okay, yeah. So like it used to be, you used to get a card back for hitting infinite. Now we get a title. Yep. I guess it's, there's two sides of it. Oh, but you know, getting the card back shows you that you hit infinite. But I mean, I guess that is some people's goal in the game, but not every gamer is trying to get the highest rank. So I think the way they've done it is good. We kind of discussed this previously. But yeah, I guess it takes off the pressure because you're going to get the card back through the season pass anyway. So if the title, you know, if you really want the title, then you're going to go for it. Otherwise, you just have fun with the game.
100%.
Do you feel like it's expanded your, I guess, deck building, like testing different things because you're not worrying about just like ranking up?
Definitely.
Yep.
Like, with the Series 4 and 5 cards, when I unlocked a couple of them at like early, I kind of like, you know, might have thrown them in the deck, tried it, and like wasn't working out, and then never played him again. Like,
yeah.
Thanos, I haven't played him since I unlocked him. Luke Cage, I bought him, actually both of them. I bought them both and like haven't really played with them much. But now I unlocked like Titania, for instance, and like not like a top tier card, but I've chucked her in heaps of decks and just trying her out because I'm not too stressed about hitting infinite. So yeah. definitely builds on the testing aspect of the game.
Yeah, I think like I would always avoid playing, I guess, what you'd call bad, like a bad deck. But now I'm kind of like just throwing cards in there and testing them out. I unlocked a tumor of it like really early on, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to just build a deck, throw them in there. And I mean, you can still rank up with like subpar decks, which is like, I think, a nice thing about the game. You're not just like getting smashed every single game that you play. So I think that, yeah, I think just taking the pressure off yourself allows you to experiment more. And I feel like I wasn't enjoying that aspect at the start because I was so focused on like hitting infinite every season. But now that I've had like a bit of a break playing, like I was playing a little bit on and off, not as, you know, hardcore as I was when the game came out, I feel really refreshed, like trying out decks. Like I've been messing around with She-Hulk, playing with Zabu, messing around with Silver Surfer again. And I'm just actually having fun playing the game. Again, my advice for people that want to hit infinite, like just stick to a deck, learn a deck really well. If you just want to enjoy yourself, I mean, go wild, make crazy decks. It's a ton of fun. Cool.
Yeah, I feel like you should just be having fun, you know? Yeah. And like some people, like even myself, when I win, I have fun. but in Marvel Snap, I don't know, it's kind of changed that a little bit for me. I'm not too stressed about winning because winning in this game doesn't necessarily mean climbing the ladder. Because of the cubes.
Yep, for sure.
So it's kind of like mixed. It's kind of like mixed the two things up. You know, winning and progressing. Usually I just want to win. Now it's kind of like messed winning and progressing up in my head. And now I don't really know what I want, but I'm just enjoying the game, which is good.
Yeah, I think like I've always been super competitive with games. So like any card game I've ever played, even just video games in general, always want to be like the best. Yeah. But I'm now at the point where I feel like I'm getting older, getting wiser, and just starting to feel less stressed about, like I don't have the time anymore to like pour 5-6 hours into a video game every day. Like a lot of people have that ability, you know, they might be studying, they might not be working as much as, you know, they're not working full time. So they have that. And like, I mean, if I had that time, I'd be hitting infinite in the first week, like of the game, because I just played like, you know, 6-8 hours a day, play the best decks, grind it out. Whereas I feel like I'm enjoying myself more, not treating it like a job, like a second job.
Definitely.
Like, not that it should. And I feel like when a game starts to feel like that, it can get stale. And now that I've kind of been playing it a little bit on and off, I've been playing some other card games. I've been dabbling in like some Pokemon TCG, playing the online version. I played a couple of games of Hearthstone just to see how I saw so many people complaining about the meta. I'm like, oh, I got to check this out. And I feel really refreshed now. Every time I pick up my phone, I kind of want to play Marvel Snap. Having a ton of fun. Zabu's cool. We're going to get into Zabu and all the new stuff that's come to Marvel Snap coming to Marvel Snap as well in the new season. What have you been playing? Let's go with what's one deck you've been playing the most, you reckon?
Oh, Zabu, definitely.
Oh, cool.
Probably the funnest deck that I've been playing, probably the deck I've been playing the most, is like a Zabu discard deck.
Okay, that's cool. Like a Dracula?
Yeah, utilizes like Dracula and Hellcow as the four drops.
Yep,
that's cool. And then it's just kind of got the usual discard stuff going, but it's just fun. Zabu, are we going to get into Zabu?
Let's do it right now. Let's do it. Cool. So, go Zabu. So tell everyone what it is.
Zabu is a 3-cost card for 2 power, and his ability is ongoing. Your 4-cost cards cost 2 less to a minimum of 1. So straight off the bat, like pretty powerful card.
Insane.
I feel like Zabu and Silver Surfer are probably like 2 of the best cards they've ever released with the season pass.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I kind of feel like, I know sometimes you and I speak about Yu-Gi-Oh and how they don't have like cards that rotate out.
Yeah.
But what do you call it when like the cards just progressively get better that the old ones just naturally
so
rotate
it's
out?
It's basically power creep. So
power creep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of feel like that's been happening. Like just
you know
these
what?
Cards they've been bringing out.
It's inevitable in I would say currently it's inevitable in all card games, collectible card games, mind you. There are a lot of like card games where you just you and I have played card games like Arkham Horror, the card game, and games like that where it doesn't really matter if the cards get better or they kind of are all the same like level of strength. But collectible card games where you're battling people, inevitably the cards just naturally get stronger and stronger because if all the cards stay at the same level, they kind of get boring really quickly. And I feel like it's a bit of a design flaw in the like trading card games, collectible card games, whatever you want to call them, in that when you come up with new ideas, you want to do crazy stuff, and crazy stuff generally means powerful, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I think one thing we've spoken about in the podcast before as well is that in other trading card games, like Pokemon, for instance, they re-release the same Pokemon with a brand new card, brand new text, brand new abilities.
Yep.
With Marvel Snap, that's going to be like kind of weird unless they... I don't know, unless they release alternate versions of the card, which are kind of variants. Anyway, I know we've spoken about this before, but it feels sad to see all of the big characters who came out with the release of the game that are going to kind of naturally rotate out of the meta kind of thing or rotate out of the game.
So I think the nature of the game with the cube mechanic and like only 12 cards, I feel like they'll always be around. And I guess my thought process is they can always rework those cards to... being a digital game to kind of match the other cards. I think of games, other digital card games, Hearthstone has a rotation system. It didn't initially, but they eventually had to add it because it was getting like really ridiculous. And then their wild format, which is basically like you can use every card, but some of them are banned, obviously, that like with broken combos. And it's kind of neglected because everyone kind of just plays the standard main format where they rotate cards. And then, you know, Magic the Gathering, all the in real life games generally do it as well, except Yu-Gi-Oh! Yu-Gi-Oh! Just do a ban list, but I mean, they have to change it every like 3 to 6 months because it's like a new set comes out and something breaks. So you don't want that either. So I feel like maybe in the future, there would be, instead of like a rotation system, maybe cards like Captain America and these cards that potentially end up weaker kind of rotate into new cards. You get what I mean? Yeah. Like they re-release them with new abilities.
Yeah.
That's potential. Or like you said, they have alternate versions of them with new abilities, new powers, and, you know, they could, there's a range of things they could do.
They could go for whatever they want. But yeah, so in terms of Zabu, going back to Zabu, I think he's a powerful card.
We went on a massive tangent about power creep.
We went on a massive tangent. But I do feel like they're doing a better job in releasing cards with the season pass because there were a few complaints about like a few stale seasons, maybe due to the cards that were released with that season.
Name the card. I know which card you're thinking of.
Oh, Nick Fury.
It has to be.
Yeah. And even like, you know, Miles came out like super cool character, but like not the best ability. And then that was two seasons in a row where everyone was kind of like, eh. Mm. But anyway, we're back to some good cards. So Zabu, I think, is awesome. Also seen him being played in a deck, which has a few 4-cost cards with really good abilities, such as like Spider-Man, Drax and Absorbing Man.
Yep.
And you know,
isn't it weird that Drax is now like, I feel like Zabu has made cards that were like never played instantly playable.
Definitely.
Like Drax.
Yeah. Like Drax. Drax never been played. And now like Moon Girl is a 4-cost card as well. I've seen a few decks where you have a bunch of 4-cost cards in your hand, use Zabu on turn 3, then you can Moon Girl and something else on turn 4.
Yeah.
And then you just have all of these 4-cost cards for 2 power. And turn 5, you can play 2 of them, and turn 6, you can play 3 of them. Like, it's a pretty insane card.
I think it's pretty nuts. I guess Silver Surfer last season was also a really cool card, really cool mechanic. The thing I like about Zabu is it's made... like there's so many great four cost cards, but you can't play a lot of them because you're generally only playing one to two of them.
Yeah.
Zabu makes a lot of average four cost cards all of a sudden playable because you're not worrying about it being a four cost card. The only thing that comes with that is all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, four cost cards become two cost. Like, where does it end? Like, are we going to have a card that makes five cost cards, you know, three cost? Are we going to have... It's interesting. I think Zabu's okay at the moment. But yeah, it's a tough one because we've spoken about negative, Mr. Negative, where they have to think about the power and the cost of cards every time they make a new card because you can abuse it with Mr. Negative. This feels the same. Every time they make a four cost card, they have to make sure it's not too good. As soon as they make one, like say they make a four cost card that's like slightly overpowered, it should be maybe a five cost. All of a sudden, Zabu becomes broken with that card.
Yeah, and I mean cards that can alter the cost of other cards have generally been like good cards since the start of the game, like Mr. Negative or Sarah or stuff. They're always cards that are commonly spoken about and always included in decks. So like Zabu is definitely a good card, and I think it's definitely going to stick around.
And this is a quick comparison. The reason people are kind of angry at the moment with Hearthstone is we kind of like in Hearthstone it's called mana cheating. In like Snap, it would be, I guess, energy cheating because you're getting things out cheaper. In Hearthstone, there's the rogue class is like just being able to play tons of cards really early in the game. And I guess, those cards and those abilities are always powerful in these sorts of games with, I guess, mana or energy costs.
Yeah. The thing I will say about Zabu, though, is it's the game is predictable. So if like I don't think I've played a bit of Zabu. Probably since he's come out, and I haven't really gained or lost many cubes. And I feel like that's just because if I've got Zabu down, my opponent knows that I'm coming out with some four-cost cards. And if I have a good turn four, then a lot of the time they'll retreat.
That's what I was going to say. When Zabu comes down, do you just retreat, though? Like, is that a good card?
Not always, but like if they have a good turn four, and especially if they Moon Girl... You know they're gonna come out. They're gonna come out with a really good turn five or six, or like quite often they'll have Spider-Man, and they can just play Spider-Man for two cost on turn five with something else, and then you can't play anything on turn six. So I feel like it does bring a predictable game where even though it's an amazing card, it may not get you the most cubes. And I feel as in comparison to Silver Surfer, Silver Surfer just gets a general board going, but then it's not till turn six where you can see that you've won with that deck, whereas with Zabu by like maybe turn four or five you can kind of see, if I'm going to win or lose kind of thing. So I feel like even though it is a really good card, that's the thing about Marvel Snap, even though it's a really good card, I feel like it's a really good card. It doesn't get me the most cubes.
So I think Urko in the chat here on YouTube has said the current problem with Zabu is that some of the best cards are four cost, like Shuri and Darkhawk. It's funny you say that, Urko. We're going to go through some meta decks and maybe some Zabu Darkhawk at Shuri decks in there. Because that's my thing. It becomes Zabu. It's a cool idea, but it just means every new four cost card that's made, they have to like make sure that Zabu doesn't allow you. Like, if it's really good four cost card, all of a sudden it's, put Zabu in there. Now it's a two cost. Wow, this is great. And like you said, you play Moon Girl. Now you can play two copies of that amazing card. It's interesting. We'll see if Zabu gets a nerf at some point. Potentially, maybe.
I'm not sure. I feel like he may get a nerf, but I feel like they will just be real, like you said, they will be really keeping an eye on those four cost cards and making sure that they're not OP. I think Darkhawk is a card that I can't wait to get into the shop. That's what I've been saving for.
Yep.
But I feel like similar to Devil Dino or Ronin, Darkhawk will easily go to a five cost card eventually.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I don't like these cards in the sense that it restricts the devs into having to be really careful about the cards they make. And I feel like that sort of thing, it worries me in that they kind of, like, obviously they have tons of creative freedom, but, like, I feel like these things suddenly restrict your mindset. Like, oh, don't make that card a 4 cost. It's going to be too good with Zabu. Oh, don't make that a 0 power card because Mr. Negative can make it a 0 cost card. Like, I mean, like you said, we saw it with Devil Dino. They had to make it, you know, a 5 cost card. They had to make it 3 power. Same thing happened with Ronan. They made Ronan really, really broken. They had to make it a 3 power card so you couldn't abuse its abilities with... Sorry, you couldn't abuse Mr. Negative. We've seen it with Sarah, like, just playing tons of cards on turn 6. And it became for a while, maybe not so much now with all these new cards, but before we got all these new Series 4, Series 5 cards, like, as soon as Sarah came down on turn 5, you were just, like, retreating if they had a big hand. Because, like, Sarah Miracle was, like, just such an amazing deck. At the time, obviously, we had a much smaller card pool, but, I mean, it's the same principle. It just worries me in terms of future cards, I guess. Not so much right now.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree.
Cool. All right, let's get into all the rewards that you're going to be able to get. So new card backs, 2 awesome card backs there. Again, if you guys don't catch the video version of the podcast, you're listening to the audio version, I'm going to post all of the stuff we talk about up on the Twitter account at Infinite Snap Pod. So while you're listening, you can go and check all the resources there. So we've got the new card backs. We've got Zabu, of course. We've got some avatars that are based off the new variants that we've got from Alex Hawley. Kazaa, Zabu, and Storm, there's some amazing artwork. We'll look at some of that in a moment. Let's go through the new Series 5 cards. You said you're saving up for Darkhawk. Any of these cards interest you? First up, we've got Sorin. 3 cost, 3 power. On reveal, remove the abilities from all ongoing cards in your hand and deck. Thoughts?
Straight up thoughts, bad.
Okay.
I just think, why would you want to remove the cards? But then when you think a bit more in depth about it, it makes sense a little bit with cards like Typhoid Mary, anything that has a negative ongoing effect.
Yep.
But I don't feel like it's going to be the best card. I feel like this card's going to be forgotten about straight away.
It's going to be, like, kind of played in one specific deck, I think. Like, I feel like you said, Typhoid Mary, Red Skull, throw it in there. And then I guess, though, you play Sorin and the rest of the cards you play are all on reveals or, like, abilities that aren't ongoing. I'm sure it'll fit into a deck and it'll be, like, fine. But again, I feel like it will be forgotten about because you'll play the deck and then when you stop playing it, that's it. So it's not at the top of my list.
Yeah, I also think remove the abilities from all ongoing cards. Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think it's a good card.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree.
I can't see, like, what kind. Yeah, it's not going to be versatile at all. It's just, you're right. It's just going to go into one kind of deck with negative ongoing effects or all on reveal effects, but it doesn't have good stats.
That's the thing. It's pretty much there to remove. Maybe we might get ongoing cards in the future that have bad. Bad abilities, and then Sorin becomes, like, better. But again, I think it's very niche. It's not going to be, like, super versatile. So probably not the first one that I'm looking at buying. Next up, we have Shanna, the She-Devil, on reveal, add a random 1 cost card to each location, 4 cost card, 2 power. Thoughts?
So my first thought is add a random 1 cost card to each location. Is that for you and your opponent or just your side?
I'd say that's just your side. By the wording, it's add a random 1 cost card to each location. So for your side.
Doesn't seem the best either. It seems like fine, but it's so RNG. And, like, what kind of 1 cost cards are you hoping for to waste your turn 4 on it?
Yeah,
like
I think I said Kazaa deck, and that's about it.
Yeah, a Kazaa deck. But, like, then again, you're playing either Kazaa or Shanna on turn 4, and, like, one on turn 4, one on turn 5.
Mm.
Feel like it's just not great. And then if you have a bunch of other 1 cost cards in your Kazoo deck, then you're also filling up the board with cards that you may not want.
Okay.
Like, I don't know.
So if Shanna was a 3 cost card, does it become good?
It becomes definitely a whole lot better.
Because you get 3 1 cost cards.
Yeah,
plus a 2 power card.
Yeah, I think that's way better.
Whereas or this is like, if- this is playing, so you're essentially paying one, you're paying one energy for your one cost card, and then you're paying one energy for another two cost card. So you're essentially just, you're playing, this is basically like, it's almost like a Squirrel Girl. Like Squirrel Girl gets you 3 1 cost cards for one energy.
Yeah.
So this, I'm yes, playing this. These are random, sure. They could be like better cards, but you're kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah, and it's RNG as well. Like you could also be getting if you play this on turn 4 and you have Kazaar in your hand, you could discard, you could spawn a blade and discard your Kazaar and just ruin your game, or you could spawn like an Ebony Maw and then not be able to play any more cards there, or zero. Like I really don't like this card.
We'll see we'll see what happens with Shanna the She Devil. We've got Dazzler, 4 cost card, 4 power ongoing. If you have 4 cards at each location, +6 power.
Again, not great. I mean, it's like there is so many other better 4 cost cards like Dark Hawk at the moment. This will get you what if you fulfill the requirement.
Yeah.
You'll get a 4/10 Dark Hawk. I've easily seen at a 4/10, if not like way more.
Okay, so Dazzler bad.
Dazzler is like, I don't know, I don't see it as great.
What if it goes into a Zabu deck? So you're playing Zabu, you're playing Moon Girl, and then you're like playing double Dazzler and filling the board and getting these to 10 power.
Yeah, like it's good. It's good, but then you have to pull that off every game. Otherwise, it's just not worth it.
Yeah, I think it's easy to fill up all the locations with specific decks. I think like Patriot pretty much does it all the time with your Ultron. But then, yeah, like a 4 cost, you're not playing that. Like you're playing Kazaar instead of this.
Yeah.
So, yeah
you're getting more stats with Kazaar overall.
Yeah.
And you don't have to fulfill that ongoing requirement.
Yeah.
If, like you don't need to if you don't have to. But, like, yeah, I don't know. It's okay.
So that's Dazzler. And then, surely we're excited about this card. 4 cost, 3 power, Shadow King, on reveal, set all cards here to their original base power.
Yeah, this is a card that everyone's hyped for.
It's funny you say that. I haven't really, like, I've been on social media this week, but I haven't really seen anyone talking about these cards. Are people hyped about Shadow King?
Well, maybe not hyped about him, but
this is the best of the four.
Of these cards, like people are talking about Shadow King. Okay, I haven't heard anyone talk about any other card except for Shadow King.
I definitely agree.
Set all cards here to their original power.
So base original base power. So like things like Black Panther, this will send it back to its original power. I feel like there's so many decks, like decks that are made to buff cards. You could basically ensure that you're winning, like especially with Zabu, think Zabu, Shadow King, 2 cost. On turn 6, you can essentially ensure that you win a location.
Yeah, it's definitely the most versatile card of the four.
Yep.
I think it can fit into a few decks. And it definitely helps. It's not like the other cards where you have to, I don't know. I feel like they have very niche abilities where you can only use it in certain decks, whereas this card, it will be good against most decks.
Yeah, I feel like if you get to turn 6 and you go, okay, they've filled that location, instead of me having to play like a big card there, like with Zabu, I could play this Shadow King there and then play, you know, some other, like I feel like at 4 cost it can be a bit awkward, but Zabu makes this just a good card.
Yeah, that's true. And like we were talking about before, I feel like a card that can, you know, you could be looking like you are losing a certain location and your opponent is in that location.
Yep.
They snap because they think they've got it.
Yeah.
And this card is a card that could flip that location on its head and swing it in your favor.
That's
and I think any card that can do that on turn 5 or 6 is a good card. This card will get you cubes.
So yeah, that's right. It's a cube card. So turn 6, they've got their Patriot out. They've got their Mystique. They play Ultron and they're like, oh, that location where I have no cards, I'm going to win that. You can have like one card there and Shadow King and you win that location. Like they put all their drones there. The drones would be like 5 power each. They end up being 1 power each.
I don't understand how that works, because they go to one power each, but they are one power each. I don't think that's how it works.
No, no, so set all cards here to their original base power. So
yep.
They're all going to be...
Patriots ongoing.
Yeah, but on set all cards... Oh, okay, okay. Sorry, sorry.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, sorry, sorry, ongoing. Sorry. Sorry, so that...
I don't think it... Yeah.
So it's on reveal, set all cards here to their original base power. So you would set them to one and then they would still get the ongoing buffs.
That, I would assume
that's, yeah, that's how the wording is. Yeah. That's how it is worded. So yeah. Things like... So I guess it's things that buff themselves.
Things that buff themselves.
So what about like what like, about ongoing cards? So would Devil Dino just become a three cost? No, it wouldn't work. Yeah, it would not work.
I actually have no idea.
I would say that it sets it to its base power and then it would still have its ongoing ability. It makes Shadow King a lot less versatile.
Yeah, I mean, it may shut down like a Mr. Negative deck.
Set all cards.
Iron Man flips to a 5/0/5, and then it'll change their power to 0. It'll change Iron Man's power to 0.
I mean, yeah, that is its base power, I guess. But is it its base power not changed? This is so confusing.
That's its base power.
I know.
I have no idea. Or you use Forge, you get your
Nakia, it's like whatever. Black Panther, it's like really good against.
Black Panther, Okoye.
It'll be interesting. We'll see. I think it's a good card. With Zabu, it's even better. We'll see the interactions. Is actually, I have got more questions than have been answered.
I've definitely got a lot of questions.
I'm sure that these have all been answered, and we'll have a look at them. In chat, Urko said it doesn't seem that different from Valkyrie. I think that's a fair comparison. That it's kind of like it's on reveal, and it just happens to the cards. I think that's actually how it will work. Time will tell. We will find out at the end of the season. So, we've been through all this. Silver Surfer's gone into Series 5. Sorin would have released today. Shanna releases in a week. Dazzler on 24th of Jan and Shadow King on the 31st of Jan. New locations. We've already had a couple of these. We had Eternity Range this week. We've only had Eternity Range, haven't we?
We've only had Eternity Range.
Yeah, cool. Yep. So we had Eternity Range this week, which was after turn 3, add a rock to the losing player's side. So there's 5 new locations. We'll go through them all. That Eternity Range, didn't really care about this location. Didn't really do much.
Nah, didn't care at all.
Yeah, like...
It barely made a difference. Even if I got the rock on my side, most, like, 9 times out of 10, it did not matter.
I would either, like, play cards there to put the rock on their side, or I'd just ignore it and still be able to win it. Most of the time. Cool. So that's Eternity Range. We've got Rickety Bridge. After each turn, if there is more than one card here, destroy them. Thoughts?
After each turn, if there is more than one card here, destroy them.
So if you play a card and then your opponent plays a card, they can destroy it. I mean, you probably just play armor here or avoid it.
Yeah, definitely.
It'll be interesting. Like, does no one plays anything there and you both gamble on it on turn 6?
Yeah, it's a little bit of mind games, which is always fun.
I guess it's interesting, actually. I guess you basically just have to play something like Armor or Colossus to, like, ensure you keep your card there.
Yeah, or you just put a Nova on there and wait for your opponent to give your board +1.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because you could play another card there, and your Nova would die.
Yeah. So you could play Bucky Barnes.
What do you know? It helps destroy. Never heard a
destroy.
Never heard a location helping destroy. Destroy decks. All right. Altar of Death. When you play a card here, destroy it to get +2 energy next turn. I was confused about this. Does it ask you if you want to destroy it?
Yeah, I watched your video and I thought exactly the same thing.
Because it's not
when
like
when you play a card here,
it wouldn't have to say
destroy it. To get +2 energy next turn.
Why would you write when you play a card here? You would just say, if a card is destroyed here, you get +2 energy next turn.
Yeah.
So you must have the option. It makes sense. Altar of Death, you get the option to destroy it.
Or when you play a card here, destroy it. Yeah, I don't know. Or if you destroy a card there,
I guess you get +2 energy next turn. And reading it again, that does make sense.
Again, that just helps destroy.
Plunder Castle. Only cards that cost 6 can be played here. This one was interesting to me. If you can mana cheat with other cards, I guess you could get a couple 6-cost cards there. It says only cards that cost six. So you could play cards that add cards to Plunder Castle.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. You're saying they have to be a 6-cost card. Yes. But it does say
can be played here.
It doesn't say added. Yeah, you can add cards from other places.
You can move cards there.
Correct. Yeah, so that'll be it'll be interesting. I guess it helps.
It is pretty cool.
I think it's a I think it's a cool. It's instead of being you can't play certain cards here, now you can only play the cards you can only play once. So
yeah,
it's gonna be very interesting
because it's a 6-cost card. You can, I mean, really
gambling unless, again.
you can, like, 9 times out of 10, you'll only be able to play one card here on turn 6.
So here's my thing: say you play a Chavez or something, or like Hulk, and I play Magneto. Like, say you play Chavez and I play Magneto. I'm going to pull one of your cards there. Like, all of these strong 6-cost cards become a bit risky. It'll be interesting to see what decks get played.
Leader is probably the best.
Again. Oh, no!
Because if they decide not to play a card there, then you win with Leader.
And
if they decide to play a card there, then you also win with Leader. So I feel like Leader will run the meta that week.
Justin,
or those couple of days.
You're banned from the podcast.
Sorry.
For suggesting leader plays. Okay. Collapsed Mine, fill this location with rocks. Skip a turn to destroy your rocks. Straight away, Sunspot, good. She-Hulk, good. Basically anything that benefits from not spending your energy.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, when I see locations like this as the featured or hot location, like turn one, if that location doesn't come up, I'm playing cards on the second location.
Yeah.
And then turn two, I'm playing cards on the third location if it still hasn't come up, just to minimize the risk.
Yeah,
other than that, you can't really do much.
It is smart that you said that. When there's locations like we had Eternity Range, if it didn't come up first or second, I was playing the cards at the other locations to fill Eternity Range before it appears.
Not so much Eternity Range, but Luke's Bar, for instance. That was the hot location. Like, yes. Luke's Bar, yeah.
Yeah,
you,
for sure.
You can't get a card there unless it's like special circumstance or whatever, because it always returns to your hand with Luke's Bar.
Yeah, Luke's Bar is a much better example than Eternity Range.
So if Luke's Bar didn't come up on the first location, then on turn one, I was playing cards, if possible, on the second location. Come up on this as the second location, I would play cards on the third location.
Yeah, that's right.
I would come up and like, great, I've already got a card or two there.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Yeah. Those are the locations coming this season. Brand new variants. Oh boy, these are some pretty amazing variants.
They're pretty cool.
She-Hulk one's cool. The Enchantress one is awesome. The Shuri one is absolutely insane.
I rate the Shuri one.
The Shuri one is so good. It's like, do I save up the tokens to buy Shuri now? Maybe.
You need to save up the tokens to buy Shuri and then save up the gold to buy the variant.
Yeah, true. So January brings 20 new variants to the game by a bunch of notable artists, Dan Hip, Max Greki, Giulio Rincioni. I think I got that right. If you're a fan of fantasy art, comic book covers, card game art, or heavy metal album covers, this is your month. So 10 new variants from Alex Hawley as well, and these are like the real gritty sort of tribal cards. The artwork is amazing. So we've also got here Sabretooth, White Tiger, Kraven, and we're going to have some bundles. You know, we love bundles, Justin.
We can't get enough bundles. Like, that White Tiger is insane. And the Devil Dino, what?
Yeah, the Devil Dino is sick, hey?
Open his head up. I want that.
So, like, my comment on these bundles was, they don't get you collector's tokens, which is the major draw for these bundles at the moment. So you're getting three variants and avatars in the Primal Masterpiece bundle, 155 boosters for Sabretooth, White Tiger, and Kraven, whatever, and 1,500 credits. So it doesn't seem like, unless you really want the variants, there's no other reason to buy this.
And, well, unless you want to unlock the cards, although they're not really great cards.
I think none of these are... pool three.
Yeah, pool three.
Yeah, so you're generally...
Devil Dino.
Yeah. So
do we know how much these are going to be?
I haven't actually seen the numbers.
Yeah.
So potentially we do. I haven't actually seen that data. And so then we've got the Devil Dino bundle. You get the Devil Dinosaur variant and Avatar. Awesome variant. The title, Please Do Not Step on Me. 310 boosters for Devil Dino and 5,000 credits. Again, lots of credits in this, but it's, again, not getting you collector's tokens. It's not getting you a new card if you haven't unlocked it yet. So I don't mind this way of selling bundles. You're going, hey, you want these cool variants? Here they are. It's no different than to me than just buying variants.
Yep. Like,
yes, you get some credits, but I can just buy credits anyway with gold. So I think this is fine to me. This is how I would want bundles to be. Like, even if they're selling titles, they're selling emotes, things like that, I'm happy. When it's giving collector's tokens, things that allow you to progress faster, and of course, look, credits do allow you to progress faster, but once you get into pool 4 and 5, I mean, you're not exactly gambling on credits to unlock new cards. Like, if you're trying to get a new Series 4 card off the collector's track, you're spending hundreds and hundreds of dollars to get one new card, if not thousands. So I don't think these, like, I think it's fine selling bundles like this.
I think it's fine as well.
Yep.
I ended up getting the Sunspot bundle.
Get those tokens.
Last season. And yeah, like, it's crazy. I saved up that gold. I didn't actually buy the gold.
Yep.
Saved up that gold. And then I didn't really think about the tokens. I was just like, look, the avatar is cool.
Yep.
The title is cool.
Yep.
But man, did those tokens feel good. I was sitting on, like, you know, no tokens, and then all of a sudden,
yeah,
I get like 3,000 or something. You can buy a Series 4 card.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. It's
so
I
do agree. I do agree with you. I'm glad that they are not putting, they haven't put collector's tokens in this season's bundles. Interesting to see how much they are, though.
Bundles. For sure. I think like, it's not that I'm against collector's tokens being purchased. It's just, you know, you don't want it to become a sort of game where, like, a lot of mobile games are predatory in this way where, hey, if you spend thousands of dollars, you have every card, you know, they're not exactly like, these cards are available to everyone. So smart players that play free to play will pick the right cards. They'll pick Shuri.
Yeah.
They'll pick, you know, Bast. They'll pick She-Hulk, like the good cards, I guess. Whereas, I feel like if someone can just have all the cards, I don't know. I'm like on the fence.
It's not pay to win, but it's pay to advance months of your life.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's pay to help you immensely.
Which my argument kind of is flawed, because you can just buy credits anyway. So I guess if you have thousands of dollars, you're going to be able to progress faster than everyone else anyway. I'm kind of on the fence on it. I mean, I didn't buy any of the bundles to get the collector's tokens. So I guess I'm also a bit like, maybe I'm a little bit salty that I didn't get those collector's tokens. Yeah. Nah, I'm
should
not.
Have saved up your gold.
Yeah, that's it. But yeah, so cool. Let's get into some decks quickly. We'll have a look at have a quick look at the meta. You're very happy about this one, Justin. We have the Seracle Surfer deck here. I mean, tons of people have been playing this. Silver Surfer, you've got a bunch of good 3-cost cards in there, and you've got Sarah on turn 5, so you can play 3 3-cost cards because there'll be 2-cost on turn 6. So you can generally play a bunch of 3-cost cards and then just throw down Silver Surfer on turn 6 to buff all those cards. You've got Killmonger in there as well to try and, kill a bunch of 1-cost cards. Really, really cool. Polaris there to move cards around. Brood there to get you 3 3-cost cards. It's pretty, pretty powerful with Silver Surfer. What's your thoughts, Justin? Did you play this deck when the Silver Surfer came out?
Yeah, it's a crazy deck. I think I may have had like a variant of this.
Yep.
I think instead of Iceman, I had Nova.
Yeah, which is fine because you kill it with Killmonger.
That with Killmonger.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
Instead of Mr. Fantastic, I think I had Forge just to buff
yep,
up Brood
to buff
a
your
little
cards.
Bit more.
Yep, yep. That's fine.
But again, like I was saying before, I feel like this is a tier 0 deck, or is it a tier 1 deck? Tier 1 deck.
Not only
because it's good and it can win you games, but because this deck will win you cubes.
Yeah, and that's
the thing. That is the biggest thing about this deck. It'll win you cubes because, you know, if you've got Miss Fantastic, Cosmo, Killmonger, on a location, you've got 6, 7, 8 power, right?
Yeah.
It's like not that big, it's whatever. But then all of a sudden, on turn 6, you put another 3 cost card there.
Yeah.
And you buff them all with Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
Then you're getting plus 3, 6, 9, 12 plus whatever 3 cost card you put there. Like it's a massive swing. And yep. That's why this deck is good.
I think the differentiation in between like cubes and wins losses is very important in Marvel Snap, because winning games doesn't mean you're ranking up. And this is definitely a deck that can, you know, your opponent isn't prepared for 3 cards coming down on turn 6, one of them being Silver Surfer, which buffs everything else. Playing Maximus Silver Surfer and like Polaris or Brood on turn 6 is nuts. Like it's so much power.
Yeah.
So yeah. Definitely a fun deck. I was playing it at the start of Silver Surfer season, having a ton of fun with this deck as well. So tier 1 deck, if you've got the cards, you got Silver Surfer, play it. You'll have a blast with it. Next up, another, I guess, tier 1 deck is Shuri Zero. Again, thank you to Marvel Snapstone for all these deck lists and, of course, Den. I feel like I thank Den every podcast because he just gets the content out. You know, he has it out promptly, and big thank you for that. And, you know, Marvel Snapstone, great resource. So here we've got essentially using Zabu with a bunch of decent 4-cost cards. Shuri, just it's such a great card. You don't have Shuri, do you, Justin?
I don't have Shuri.
No, neither do I.
I don't know. I feel like Shuri's not top of my list to get, but she's in so many good decks.
Dude, double the power of the next card you play. You've got Typhoid Mary there, 20 power. Red Skull, 30 power. She-Hulk, 20 power. And then Arnim Zola turn 6 to just duplicate him. It's ridiculous.
So what do we do here? We Zabu turn 3.
Then you can Shuri, Typhoid Mary.
And Shuri. Oh, yeah.
You can Wong. Sorry. Yeah, exactly what you said. Wong, Shuri, and then Red Skull.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. And then Arnim Zola.
Arnim Zola.
Ridiculous.
Taskmaster.
Disgusting. Yeah. It's so disgusting,
that
man.
That is insane.
It's actually disgusting. Zero, like you've got Zero in there to like combo with Red Skull and Typhoid Mary. If you miss like your combo, you've got Vision in there, Taskmaster, Arnim Zola. It's so disgusting, man.
And you've got Sunspot and She-Hulk.
It's so gross.
Just in case you don't pull the cards that you need at the right time. That is really good. That's a good deck. I haven't really seen that one much, but that is awesome.
And the thing is, like, I have all of these cards except Shuri, so I've kind of...
Do you unlock Shuri?
No, I've spoken about this. I'm getting Series 5. I've discussed this on the show. Series 4 cards, eventually all these amazing Series 5 cards will be Series 4. I feel like I'm getting more cards for my collector's tokens. Maybe not the best cards, but I'm getting more options to play around with and have fun. But man, is Shuri enticing. It's a good card.
Is Shuri a Series 5 card?
Yeah.
Man, you know what I found when I was looking through the cards that I still have to unlock?
Yep.
I'm slowly, slowly unlocking the Series 4 cards in the tracker.
That's good.
I think I've got like maybe 4 or 5 of them.
There's 10 of them. So yeah, you're halfway.
Yeah, I'm halfway.
That's good.
So why am I unlocking Series 4 cards, man? Go for the Series 5 cards.
Maybe. And that's the other argument. If the Series 5 cards don't go to Series 4 for like 12 months, it's going to be almost impossible to get them on the collector's track.
Say that again.
So if you get all the Series 4 cards now, then the Series 5 cards stay Series 5 for like another 12 months.
You're never going
to
unlock
them. You have to get them with collector's tokens because you're unlocking like what? Your chance is like 0.25% per cache.
Yep.
Like you're just never unlocking one in 400.
You're convincing yourself to get Series 5 cards.
Potentially. All right. Yep. Next deck, also tier 1. Den's got this as good cards. And they are good cards. This deck's kind of been, this is just Leech Leader. But I think that like, Aero Magneto, this deck was pretty gross as well. You've got Shang-Chi in there, White Queen. Man, the White Queen Leech Leader combo is pretty gross. See what your opponent's big finisher card is, leech that card, and then Leader to just copy their. It's crazy because when you leech, you know that they're just playing cards with power, no abilities. If you're already winning 2 locations, you win. Or if your Leader is gonna make sure you win that second location, no matter what, you just win. People complained about this for weeks.
Deck.
I want to say it's a fun deck to play, but I kind of feel bad every time I leader people now. I'm at
it
the
is
point.
It's a fun deck to play.
It's fun. Arrow's cool. Magneto's cool. Yeah. I just, yep. Leech leader just felt, it just felt like I was committing a crime.
Leech leader feels like you're cheating, but like you don't always.
Do you know why it feels like you're cheating? It's like, hey, you built this really cool deck. I'm just going to remove all the abilities now. Not one card, not two cards, the whole hand, except whatever you draw. Pretty much if they don't draw like the absolute nuts that wins them the game, they just lose. So there you go. That's your Leech leader combo, Magneto, gross. I don't, and nothing more to say. Zabu. And the reason we went through all the Zabu Savage Land stuff is because there's a bunch of Zabu decks. This is the Dark Hawk deck, like Urko said in the chat. Dark Hawk, really good card with Zabu. You've got Spider-Man in here, Absorbing Man, Shang-Chi, Crystal. Crystal is seeing play. Moon Girl, Rock Slide. Dude, this is nuts. You're just... It's pretty gross, man. Black Widow to stop your opponent from drawing, which is, of course, to help with Dark Hawk. Rock Slide to also throw cards into your opponent's hand. What do you think?
All right, so let me tell you why this deck is so good.
Yep.
Absorbing Man.
Yeah, you like Absorbing Man.
I'll tell you why. Yeah, I'll tell you why. And no, I'm not a big fan of Absorbing Man, but just in this deck.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because with Absorbing Man, you can, right? Shang-Chi one card.
Yep.
All right. And then Shang-Chi another card.
Well, another location, and
Another location. Yep. And you can do this twice in the same turn at two different locations with because Zabu. They both cost two, right?
Yep.
All right, next, you can, on turn five, right, on turn five, you can lock your opponent out of two, playing at two locations with Spider-Man and Absorbing Man.
Yep.
Insane.
Yep.
Insane. All right. Then, Crystal, not so much. Moon Girl, not so much. Rock Slide, you are getting...
Four rocks into their deck.
Four. Yep.
So Dark Hawk ends up plus eight.
You're getting plus eight. Insane.
Black Widow.
Absorbing Man. And Black Widow. Absorbing Man's like the star of the show here for me.
Yeah, I think without Absorbing Man, this deck becomes way less powerful.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty neat. So you're just filling your opponent's deck with junk, stopping them from drawing cards with Black Widow, and then Dark Hawk's just getting crazy power and using Absorbing Man to just double all these gross abilities. Spider-Man Absorbing Man... The Absorbing Man Spider-Man turn five and forcing him to play into one location is pretty yuck.
That is insane. And if you Moon Girl Spider-Man or Absorbing Man, I mean, it's not really going to happen. But if you do it, then on turn five, 2, 4, 6, you still can't.
No, but you can, but like, say you miss Absorbing Man. You can Moon Girl your Spider-Mans for turn five.
Yeah, definitely.
And still play two of them. Like, there's just so... Yeah. You can Moon Girl get double Absorbing Man. Ah, this is pretty nuts. I don't have Dark Hawks or Absorbing Man. I've got Absorbing Man locked in my... And we didn't even say anything about Bast. You've got Korg in there to throw rocks. You got Bast.
I was just going
to
ask, why is Bast there?
So your Korg ends up three. Your Adam Warlock ends up three. Your Black Widow ends up three. Zabu ends up three. Dark Hawk ends up three. The rest are... Like, other than Rock Slide, only two cards lose one power.
I guess so.
So I think it's a fine addition. You're just getting imagine you've got Korg, Warlock, Zabu, Widow in your hand. That's just plus 3, 4, 5, 6. That's plus 7 for playing Bast.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Cool. All right. So Zabu Dark Hawk we've got here in tier 2. We've got Bayro. This is the deck that I haven't been playing this exact list. I've been playing like a She-Hulk list, but I'm definitely going to try this deck out because we're basically throwing in She-Hulk. You've still got Wave in there with Death. It's pretty much a Death Wave deck. Throw She-Hulk and Leader in there. Really excited to try this out. This looks like a good deck. Looks fun.
I'll try this as well. Yeah. It does look fun.
You've got like your Destroy cards, Bucky Barnes, The Hood, Carnage, Killmonger, Deathlock. But then you've got Arrow. You got Leader there. I mean, I said I don't like playing Leader, but I'm not leeching people, so it's fine. Being able to like Wave, play Death really cheap, and then also like you're saving energy to play She-Hulk cheap the next turn. It's pretty neat.
It's a good deck.
Yeah, I think this would be a ton of fun. I'm definitely going to try out the She-Hulk Bayro deck. That is pretty much all the meta decks I wanted to go through. This is kind of like the top 5-6 decks. Just thought, like, every now and then it's nice to have a look at how the meta's sitting, I guess. We're not exactly like a, like, you know, high-level meta Marvel Snap podcast, but I think it's great to take a look at this sort of stuff. You know, give people ideas of things to play. We've got so many new cards. It's insane. Cool. Justin, did you want to go through the patch notes? We'll go through the unofficial patch notes.
We'll go through the patch notes. I don't actually have them in front of me. Do you have them?
Yeah, I've got them. All good. Do not stress. So, guys, before we get into these patch notes, they were leaked through the Korean Marvel Snap social media team. So these aren't exactly set in stone. The update, the patch hasn't come out yet. It did get delayed. But these are... Ben Bro did come out to clarify some of the changes, which kind of signals to me that these are official patch notes. Most of it is probably not going to change. So we'll go through them. We won't go too deep into them other than the card changes. But our artist credits are coming. We've been asking for this since the start of the podcast. Love to see all the artists' names on their artwork. I mean, I understand that Marvel Snap, they're paying for the artwork. You know, it's not like the artists are getting nothing. But I feel like, you know, by them, giving artist credits, it's not taking anything away from Marvel Snap. I mean, they're not losing any money by doing that. They're not losing players by doing that. But it does, you might go and check out the artist and buy some of their artwork. So, take interest in what they're doing. So I think that's great. I can't imagine you have complaints.
Welcome change. It does, yeah, like you said, doesn't hurt them in any way, but it's great.
Yeah, I think it's nice. Automatically filter your favorite variants when editing your deck. So I guess you'll be able to like make pixel art decks, kind of tailor your deck a little bit quicker rather than going into each card and I guess changing them. I mean, I think that's fine. If there's abilities that too many cards trigger, the time it takes for the loop to finish will increase. So like Wong, Onslaught, Mystique, Ironheart combos will speed up, which I think is a nice quality of life. You don't sit there for 10 minutes waiting for the animations. So Orca is being added to Series 4. So I guess there was an issue with Orca that
I didn't actually know about this.
It's funny that we said this because we went through Orca when we announced the new cards.
Yeah.
And we completely forgot that it didn't get added.
Forgot about it. Yeah.
Well, do you know why?
I saw this and I was like, oh, what?
Do you know why I didn't know it got added? Because I don't know if I've got all the cards in my shop.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Chances are I just never saw Orca. But so the fixed Orca going to be added to Series 4, ongoing plus 5 power if this is your only card here. Ends up being, 14 power for a 6 cost card?
Yeah.
It's fine.
Not missing out on anything.
Russian support, so more languages. For new players who want to get started right away, they're releasing a pro bundle available for one-time purchase only. You get 12,500 credits plus enough boosters to upgrade 8 common cards to infinite. So, great. I mean, yeah, it's great. Are you going to be able to buy it? You're not a new player.
No, I'm not going to be able to buy it, but like that's fine. I feel like we're so far ahead of someone who's going to pick up the game that 12,500 credits.
It actually, it's funny because, I guess starting at level 1, it doesn't actually get you that far, does it? I think that's cool. And then the collector's tokens, I've heard a lot of people talking about this. Number of collector's tokens received by collecting all Series 3 cards with the collector's treasure will change. Individual payout tokens will not be set at 400, but you'll get 200 to 600. However, the token acquisition rate remains the same. I saw Ben Brode tweet out saying that because people were like, will I end up with exactly that amount? And it's no. The answer is that it's an average. So based on an average, you will still end up with 400 tokens like per payout. So some people might end up with a little bit less, some with a little bit more. Thoughts? They probably should have just left it.
I don't really know why they're doing that. I mean, someone asked him that and he said because it feels exciting, the old way feels kind of stale. There's something along those lines. Yeah. And I'm just like, nah, I don't agree.
It's like, I think...
Like, if you hit the 600, yeah, you're going to feel amazing. But like, then there's going to be those times where you hit the 200 where you're like, oh, okay. So I feel like they have the 400 collector's tokens and the 100 collector's tokens. That's fine. It's either like, oh, 100 collector's tokens, that's all right. Or 400, you're like, yay, that's awesome. And now it's just like, a bit all over the place. I mean, it's fine. It doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things, but
yeah. I think like as I feel like humans were programmed to enjoy that endorphin hit, but then I don't know, I feel like I also like structure, and knowing that I'm gonna get 400 tokens I guess would feel better, because it's just like, yeah, we're just adding more, like it's not even gambling mechanics, we're just adding more like variation to things that I guess don't really need it.
Correct. And like, I know what you're saying. Like, I calculate now, if I have 5,600 tokens, yep, right? I'm like, oh man, I need to hit one more 400 until I can get a series 6 card.
Yeah.
I have a series 5 card. And now it's like, nah, maybe I'll hit like 300 and then I'm 100 off. Feels bad.
You'll get 200 and be like, sweet. Yeah. It's interesting.
It's not the worst. It's all right.
Yeah. I think it's fine. What happens when you need like 600 and you get 600 tokens?
Yeah, that's true.
Cool. All right. So some audio updates to some locations and cards. Visual effects to Aero, which will be interesting. Again, guys, this patch has not dropped as of recording this podcast on the 10th of January. So let's go through the card updates. This is the meat and potatoes. This is what we want. Aero from a 5.8 to a 5.7. Meat and potatoes.
Meat and potatoes.
Have you never heard that? Before. It's like meat and potatoes. Maybe it's an Australian saying. It's like the meat and potatoes is like, that's your main meal.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's like your carbs and your protein, you know? All right.
That's pretty good. I like that.
You're going to start using it. It's just every day.
I'm going to start using that.
Oh, the meat and potatoes of the game. So 5.8 to 5.7. So it's going down by one power. It's a good card. Do you think it's fine?
I think this is a good change. I was using Aero a lot to the end of last season with Leech Leader and a Devil Dino deck, and Aero could just ruin games for people. I think dropping up by one is a step in the right direction. Maybe could even be a 5.6.
Yep. Okay. Cool. Galactus 6.3 to 6.2. So we're now looking at one power less. Or a lot of Galactus fans not going to be happy about this one.
I don't think this makes a difference at all to Galactus decks.
Yep.
If you're losing with a Galactus deck, it means you're not getting out like your Death and your She-Hulk, and you're not pulling off those combos.
Yeah.
And if you are pulling off those combos, then you're winning pretty much. Like you're not going to lose because your Galactus got dropped to a 6-2. It's because you've got a zero cost 12 powered Death on the field, and like a one cost 10-powered She-Hulk on the field. You know what I mean?
Do you have Galactus?
No.
Okay, because I was going to say, if you do, I can't wait till you lose a game by one power.
Yeah, well, I did have Galactus pinned, and then someone said that he was getting nerfed, and then I unpinned him.
Yeah.
But if I knew it was only one power, I may have kept him.
Yeah, for sure. So that's Galactus, a lot of Galactus fans. I think the more the outrage will be, I spent 6,000 tokens on it. And we've spoken about this, like, is there some world where we get refunds? Is there a world where you get refunds for, like, cards that this happens to? You know, like, you get, like, a one-week window to refund it at full cost and then be able to buy something else. I don't know. We'll see what happens in the future. Urko said in the chat, it's not an Australian saying. I didn't think it was. Sorry, in Australia we have, like, tons of random slang sayings that we are. Yeah, so I was like not entirely sure, but yeah, meat and potatoes. There you go, worldwide. Cool. Leader.
Okay, Pitbull.
Yeah, Pitbull. Mr. Worldwide here. Leader.
We saw this coming a mile away. I mean, I'm surprised it's not more.
6.4 to 6.3, so now one less power. I think we've said many times that Leader is like a win more card. Like, you have to already be winning generally for Leader to matter. I know a lot of people, there's a big argument against Leader as a card. I think the way Leader was played initially in Marvel Snap, it wasn't that bad. He wasn't that heavily played. With all the new cards, new synergies, Leech Leader, people figuring out like, hey, this is actually really good. It just feels bad when you're losing to Leader every single game.
Yeah.
But then, and the way the game is made, yeah, I guess the way the game is designed is that the Leader player, if they're not winning two locations, they just retreat. They're like, oh, cool, Leader's not going to work, I'm out of here. But then on the opposite side, if someone's playing Leader against you, you're losing two locations and think like, oh, I could probably win this, you always have to think, are they playing leader? They're so confident. Are they playing leader?
Correct.
So it's one of those cards where if they're winning two locations, most of the time, if they're playing it smartly, playing smart, they're going to just win the game. So I can kind of see the argument to people not liking leader.
So are you saying that leader's ability should be changed and not his stat?
It's just one of those. It's just one of those abilities. It's just, yeah, it's one of those things where it's, I don't know, it's such an interesting ability. I know because there's only four spots at each location, this can backfire, but it feels really bad when you, like when you get leaded yourself and then you just sit there and go, wow, there was no way for me to win this. Like there was actually zero ways for me to win this. I guess there's counters in that, like I guess Sarah decks where you can play a bunch of cards on turn six to, you know, to the point where they can't copy them because they don't have space, can be like a counter. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's hard.
Yeah, I really think that leaders should stay at a 6/4.
Yeah.
Or even increase.
You've said this. Yeah, I know what you're about to say.
Or even increase to a 6/5, and it should say.
Copy
leader
two cards.
Copies the first, not even, I reckon the first card your opponent played this turn. Because
makes it pretty weak.
But it makes them question, like, if they think that you've got a leader.
Yeah.
Because think of on turn six, a lot of decks, some decks will play a big six drop, right? And you will copy that big six drop.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're playing multiple smaller cards. Yes. It makes you question whether you should play leader.
Yeah.
Depending what deck they're playing, and it makes them question whether they should play a big card or a couple of small cards.
Yes.
I reckon that would be a good change.
So I guess like if you're playing a Zabu deck, then leader's not very good. Like you'd have to think twice. Decks with Sarah, things like that. Yeah, I think the change is okay. I feel like it makes it probably just a bad card. Maybe if you give it a bit more power and then make the ability what you said, I think that'd probably be fine.
Yeah, it does make it obviously significantly weaker, so it would need a power boost. Yeah.
It's an interesting discussion. Chat just said, Hearthstone, yeah. Urko said Hearthstone, when a card gets nerfed. Yeah, I've said this so many times. Hearthstone, it's exactly what happens when they nerf a card. They let you refund it for full cost, so you can buy something else. Yeah. Or you can keep it. Like, they give you a week's grace period to do that. Marvel Snap might do something like that. I don't know. Probably not. Nova, when I say probably not, mainly because the way you acquire cards isn't the same. You're not spending hundreds of dollars on random packs hoping to get the card. You're buying them with collector's tokens, which I guess is kind of like dust in Hearthstone. It's a discussion for another time. Nova, a 1/2 to a 1/1. So Nova is just, it's a good card. I mean, it's been nerfed before. Before global launch, this card was way more powerful than it is right now. Justin, I think it used to give +2 to all cards.
+2, that is insane.
That's so disgusting now that we think, looking back.
But this is definitely a good change. Yep. Like, you know, a 1/2 is like an Iceman or a Nightcrawler and stuff like that. And Nova can give your board
plus
heaps of power, so it should be reduced, I guess.
Cool. Drax is a 4/4 on reveal. If your opponent played a card in this zone, give it +4 power, change it to a 4/5. On reveal, if your opponent played a card here, it gets +3. So you're still going to end up on 8 power, but it's a natural 5 power card.
It's less risky, which I think is good because Drax didn't see much play.
Yep.
I know that he does see play now because of Zabu, but I think that will kind of die down a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, but I think that's a good change as well because he really wasn't seeing played. Now it's not as risky.
Yep, and then Groot is going from a 3/3 +3 power when your opponent plays a card there, same as Drax, to a 3/4, but only gets +2 power. So again, it's going to end up on 6 power if you hit the right card. Otherwise, it'll be a 4 power card. So still essentially giving it 1 base power and it will end up the same. So just make him a little bit stronger if you miss the... If you guess wrong, basically, which is, I think, nice. Hazmat goes from a 2/1 to a 2/2, so +1 power. I feel like, people were really excited. Our friend was extremely excited about a Luke Cage Hazmat combo deck, and it just kind of fell flat.
That's why I bought Luke Cage in it. I tried it. I did try. I really tried. But it's just not consistent at all.
So I think it's fine to just give him +1 power, Hazmat, see what happens.
I'm surprised Hazmat doesn't get a bigger boost, a bigger buff, because I never see Hazmat being played.
Black Cat, 3.6 to a 3.7. Black Cat is rarely used, so it's exactly the developer's comments. Black Cat is rarely used. We want to increase its attractiveness by increasing its power. Cool. And then Nakia, man, this card was like crazy good before global launch. For those that don't know, I think we discussed this when global launch happened. We discussed all the changes that we crazy changes. But Nakia used to make all cards in your hand plus one, which was pretty nuts. Now Nakia just gives the two leftmost cards plus one. Was it plus two?
Yeah, that's right. Plus two.
Plus two, sorry, yeah. So now it's a 3-1 to a 3-2. So, yeah, they've said, we think Nakia's effect is an interesting mechanic, but currently has a very low success rate. Buff it to make it a more attractive option. I still don't think anyone's playing it after that.
Yeah, not really. I mean, it won't really change.
Nah. Okay, and then some updates to... So Professor X at Oscorp Tower will not change sides anymore, which I think makes sense that nothing should move.
Who is... Excuse me, choking on water. Who was getting Professor X down before turn three anyway?
It's possible. I mean, it obviously happens. You get what's that location that gives you plus five power, plus five Pegasus. Energy? Yeah, Pegasus. So, I mean, that's a thing.
I guess.
But yeah, so
makes sense.
Probably why it took so long to fix, because it didn't happen that often.
Yeah.
They've updated the text for the Raft and Vibranium Mines just to make it a bit, to make a little bit more sense. So we don't have the exact translations for that yet. Decrease the chance of Warrior Falls appearing. I mean, I don't think this is like a fan favorite location of anyone, so I think that's fine.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of bug fixes. There's so many here, so I don't think it's worth going through them. And then there's a big known issues list, and then they've got the original patch notes untranslated. I haven't actually flicked through these bug fixes, but I mean, any bug fixes are going to be welcome.
Yeah, I haven't flicked through them either. I probably will give it a go just if there's anything to talk about maybe in the next episode. But
yeah, for sure.
It should just be pretty stock standard stuff unless they would have noted it up.
I love this one. Fixed loading bar getting stuck at 25%. Love it.
Nice.
Cool. So that was the patch notes that should be dropping. I mean, that patch should be dropping this week. I'd say it's been delayed already about a week. So hopefully we get that this week. Some welcome changes for sure. So looking forward to that update. Going to change. Change the meta a little bit. I don't think there's any crazy, like anything crazy. Just, you know, lowering the power of some powerful cards. No real ability changes or anything. Like important abilities, I guess. Cool. Battle mode. I mean, I said we would talk about battle mode. It's coming. It's coming. We're really excited for it. A lot of buzz about battle mode, being able to verse your friends. We'll be able to add each other, you know. You know, we can test decks, we can run tournaments. It's going to be really exciting. Justin, I know you're excited for it.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it, just to test some decks and like to... You can't really test decks at the moment against certain decks.
Yes,
I feel like
that's right.
it does go hand in hand with like a competitive mode. It's like training for a competitive mode.
Yep.
I think everyone wants it to come, whether you're going to use it or not. It's still a good mode to have.
Yes.
I think later this month, is that what
I think they were aiming for end of like Savage Land season to have it out by then.
Yeah.
It'll
be really good.
I won't fault them for not getting it out, but you know, it was meant to be out in December, but you know, we're not going to fault Second Dinner for that. They're hard at work.
Yeah, I think they want to get it right, which is a good thing.
Yes,
you don't want it to come out and it's not finished, so I don't mind. Cannot wait to smash you on stream.
I was about to say, game's not finished. We're looking at you, Cyberpunk. Cool. So, battle mode, I mean, there's not much to say. We've spoken about it so much on the podcast. When it actually drops, it's going to be fun. I mean, man, we could run some, we could do some videos, a bonus stream perhaps, where we run maybe a little tournament. We've spoken about that. So once we figure out the logistics and once the mode comes out and we can test it, we'll definitely do that. And lastly, before we get into Snap Who, I forgot to let everyone know, of course, we're going to be doing, put the points on our new, overlays that we've got for the podcast. So before we get into Snap Who, I wanted to address, I've been seeing a lot of, I mean, for those that aren't on social media much, probably not a bad thing, but there's been a lot of, people talking about toxicity in the Marvel Snap community. You know, people being toxic online, being toxic in people like content creators' streams on Twitch, YouTube, whatever it is. We've been pretty lucky here on the podcast. We haven't really had to experience any toxicity. I understand that it can be, you know, confronting for people, but when you're on social media, I feel like you just got to like have a thick skin, try and not take things to heart and just avoid toxicity. You know, when there's constructive criticism, like when people are, you know, someone asks about a buff or a nerf and why they think it's good or bad, you know, people saying why they, you know, maybe why they disagree with them. I guess on social media, just try and be like, you know, everyone's a human being. Try and be a nice person. And it's kind of been sad for me to see kind of content creators kind of going at each other. Like, it just seems so like, and I'm not calling anyone out particularly. I've just seen it like around the board. Like one person will, you know, something will happen. Someone will get blocked or, you know, someone will say something that you disagree with. You know, they'll say, oh, you know, Leader's the best card ever. We should keep Leader around forever. Leech Leader, best deck. And then, you know, someone will say why it's a bad card and everyone just like jumps on and like it becomes like a pile on like, yeah, no, you're wrong. You're an idiot, blah, 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 blah. So I think, I mean, in my opinion, Justin, every video game, every online community is going to have toxic people and it's better to just ignore it. Like obviously, you know, when I say ignore it, I don't mean like, you know, pretend it didn't happen, but calling everyone out, it doesn't achieve anything in my opinion. What's your thoughts? I know you're not a huge social media person.
Yeah, I'm not a huge social media person. I don't spend a lot of my time online. So I think like, you know, people saying hurtful things against me online would hurt me.
Yeah,
so like I wouldn't want that to happen to me. But then again, probably wouldn't get involved in it either because the more you give them, the more they're going to get at you. So I don't know. I don't have much to say about it. I don't understand why like gaming communities are so toxic. Like I kind of get it. Like you want to win and you want to be better than the other person or everyone else. But it's like your opinion. Like everyone's got an opinion.
Do you know what's crazy about what you're saying? Like the toxicity isn't even about like, you know, who's the better player, you know, you cheated because you played Leech Leader. It's just like
it's about opinion.
Yeah, someone has an opinion on a card, or you know, someone says something that they didn't like, and so you know the other person, you know, slanders them on social media, and everyone jumps on board because you know you might be like a well-known personality. And the sad thing is with social media, saying negative things gets more clicks, it gets more shares. So people are going to do it regardless. They might completely not believe something, but they're going to go against it because it's going to get more clicks. And I would say that's what a lot of people in the community are doing just because they want to be like, hey, look at what I said. You know, it's so negative. You should like it. I don't know. It's just kind of makes me feel like I don't want to see, you know, really good content creators, really good Marvel Snap players, you know, people who are just, you know, they might be a casual Marvel Snap player and they just contribute so much. They contribute so much to the community. It saddens me that they have to waste their time and energy on these sort of things. Like, and I'm not saying that it's, you know, if someone is, you know, if someone calls someone out and says bad things about them, I'm not saying they should just be like, you know, they should just wear it and, you know, take it. And just be like, whatever. Like if people say hurtful things, it hurts people. It's kind of on both sides. I feel like the people saying the toxic people just need to like get a life, and the people that are entertaining it, like there's like good people that are entertaining the toxicity by, you know, I guess commenting on it, you know, saying why are people saying this. Sometimes we just got to like just try and get it out of our system. It's kind of hard.
Yeah, everyone just needs to chill.
Yeah. Urko, yeah, maybe we'll chat about it like privately because I don't know exactly. Like I'm not actually specifically calling out anything. I've just seen like a multitude of it, of like toxicity. I've always been like, I've done streaming in the past, like just video games, and it always exists. And I know everyone's different, but I just ignore it. It's just so easy to ignore it. When you've got a busy life, it's just like, when I made YouTube videos, you know, people would say, you don't know what you're talking about. You know, this deck's stupid. And I'm kind of like, you know what? I didn't spend 10 hours, you know, tuning this deck today. I played the deck for a week and made a video about it because I thought it was cool. It wasn't like, hey, this deck is, you know, the best deck in the world sort of thing. And so when people say that sort of stuff, I just completely ignore it because I'm like, well, you didn't really get the point of the video. It wasn't a, hey, look at me, I'm the best Marvel Snap player in the world sort of thing. It was a, hey, this is my community. We like to make videos and hang out and chat, like the podcast. Not that we've actually had anything negative about the podcast, but if someone said something negative about it, I guess I'd be like, cool, don't listen to the podcast then, sort of thing.
Yeah, I feel like you do have a really good attitude when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Oh, man. It's
not everyone can handle
and,
it like
And that's that. What that's what I've had to realize, because I see people getting so mad online about things and I'm just like, I don't get it, but I am very different in that I just don't think I have enough time in my life to care about these things anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe like, when I was
people get really offended.
Maybe when I was younger.
Yeah.
When I was younger, these things probably I would have taken to heart maybe. And maybe it's just like a you get busier and you start caring less. But I feel like maybe when I was in like high school, maybe these things would have hurt me a lot more. So I guess I gotta look at it in that, you know, there's people of different ages, different demographics, different you know, lifestyles, cultures. So, you know, everyone is different. But I think we just got to try and, I mean, people forget that everyone else is just a human, like just trying to live their best life, you know, enjoying a game, a mobile game. And so hopefully, I want to say hopefully the toxicity just like disappears, but all video games communities have it. Any game I've ever played there's been people that are just toxic for no reason. Man, Hearthstone, if you look at the Hearthstone community right now, everyone is just angry at everyone because they have different opinions. And I'm kind of like, I get it. You think your opinion is right, but everyone thinks their opinion's right. And so, like, at the end of the day, whatever you believe is right is what's right to you. Doesn't matter exactly. If someone thinks it's wrong, it's to you it's right. So let's not get political on the Infinite Snap podcast. All right, Justin. We've gone like way, it's actually not too long of an episode, but we've got this isn't the meat and potatoes. This is like the dessert of the podcast. We're going to play Snap Who. We are basically rundown of the game's rules. I'm going to show Justin a location. It's not going to have the name or the ability of the location. Justin's going to explain the image for those that are listening to the audio version, and then he's going to try and guess the name of the location and the ability. He gets 1 point for each, so he can get a maximum of 2 points. And then, Justin, we're going to show the points on the we've got these little card Marvel Snap card overlays, and so we're going to be showing our points each week. So you're going to have bragging rights if you get those points. And chat's awesome. Chat saying, you know, try to avoid toxicity. That's kind of like, It's hard in social media, and you know it's always going to be around. Sometimes it's just one of those things where you just put your phone down, you know, and then the next day it's all, you know, you don't see it, and yeah, just one of those things. Hey, let's go infinite. Let's go enough political chat, enough life life advice from me. I'm not old enough to give life advice yet. I feel. All right, Justin. Here is the location. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Boom. There it is.
Ooh.
Why don't you describe it for the listeners?
All right. So looks like, think of concrete jungle, New York City. This is like a bird's eye view looking down at a bunch of high rises.
Yep.
What stands out in the middle is one building in particular, which has the Fantastic Four logo on top of it, as like a helicopter pad. That's what I want to say.
All right.
And that's what looks like the Fantastic Four building. But I want to say, and the rest of the city is like maybe shrouded in, I don't know, some kind of shadow with maybe like a bit of red from the sun.
Yeah,
on the left hand side.
Yeah, I was going to say that's pretty much it. It looks like it's like sunset.
Yeah. What is this? Like first thought that came to my head was Avengers Tower.
Yep.
Just because it's a tower. It looks like Avengers Tower, but then when I started talking about it, I think it's the Fantastic Four logo on top, so now I'm not too sure.
Okay.
But what else could it be? Avengers Tower or Avengers Compound is what I'm trying to say. Is there anything about the Fantastic Four? But the Fantastic Four are not Avengers, they're the Fantastic Four. That's the only kind of guess that I can go with.
If you don't have the name, do you have, like, if you're not sure of the name, do you have, like, maybe the description, the ability at least?
No idea.
Okay.
But if it was Avengers Compound, okay. it would read.
That's what I was going to say. If you're guessing it, do you have the ability as well?
No.
No, but it I'm saying read... if it's what you think it is, so that would
what
be
would it read?
Potentially 1 point.
What does Avengers Compound do? Got to think.
Ooh, chat. A couple of people in chat haven't gotten it either. This is very rare. Oh, yeah. This is interesting. Yeah. That's usually chat usually on it.
Yeah, well, I just can't think of anything else other than Avengers Compound.
And this isn't like a trick. This isn't like a trick. I'm like just making sure because I've tricked people in the past with cards. This isn't like a trick. Like it's not an unreleased location or anything.
All right, I'm gonna say.
Yep.
Avengers Compound.
Yep.
And it reads.
He's struggling. Mm. I love it. You're usually very good at this. This feels good. First one of the year.
Racking my brain because I feel like I could get it, but I just can't think of it right now. And it reads.
Gotta go with something.
On turn five, all yep. cards must be played here.
Okay. I will bring up what it actually is. I'm so glad you didn't get it. I'm sorry, that sounds so mean, but I'm awful at this, and I need as much help as I can get. So this is a location. This is, of course, Baxter building. And the ability is whoever is winning this location gets +3 power at the others. So when I chose this one, my thought process behind it was, like, I ignore this when I see it. I'm like, yeah, cool. If I'm winning it, I get +3 power. Cool. Like I'm never like, this isn't like the be-all and end-all of winning the game. So that is the Fantastic Four logo. You are correct.
Man, that was a hard one.
Yeah,
that was
I think a hard one. It was actually, like, I'm just looking here. That was a hot location in December.
Yeah.
It's at the start of December, yeah. So it was like, yes, it's maybe not one of the more, like, well-known ones, but it was, like, I didn't pick, like, one we haven't seen for, you know, months. Yeah. So
it doesn't have a crazy ability.
Yeah,
I think that's why.
I think that's what makes it hard. Like I was looking at some, I'm like, man, if I choose that, like it's such a massive ability, like surely you would guess it. Not that I was trying to throw you off. You've actually been really, really good. You've gotten most of them. But I need a head start.
Points.
I need a head start. Yeah. So you are going to be a 0 power card next week.
Yeah, fair enough.
Very good. Well, guys, thank you so much for tuning into the first show of the year. I don't think we really mentioned that, did we? Guys, we're going to be doing weekly episodes as usual back for the year. Very excited for what Marvel Snap has for this next 12 months. Savage Land season is a ton of fun right now. You know, we've got the PC, the full widescreen PC client coming. I'm very excited for that as well in the future. Tons of content. So excited. Chat. YouTube chat, thank you for joining us. If you guys want to catch the live version of the podcast at Shadow DTV, we host the live stream around 8:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. So, of course, it's a much easier for the Australian audience to catch the podcast. Guys, thank you so much for watching. If you want to follow us on Twitter at Infinite Snap Pod, you can catch all the stuff we talk about on the podcast we post there on our Twitter, as well as deck lists and other things. So definitely go and follow that. Justin, any last words for our listeners this week?
Not really.
2023.
I'm still thinking about Baxter Building, but it's a good start to 2023. Let's kick it off with a good podcast, and hopefully Marvel Snap just has a great year and can win Mobile Game of the Year 2 years in a row. That'd
no,
awesome.
Well, I don't think you can because I think it has to be a new game. Although, sorry, I take that back.
It doesn't have to be a new game.
If it's a live service, which is what Marvel Snap is, it has to add content that's like large enough to have it go up for another award. It has to be the. It does have to be the game of the year. So the reason Genshin Impact and stuff were allowed to be nominated again is because they had a major like content update.
I understand.
Yeah. So, potentially, but hey, they won it. It was amazing. Chat said, Happy New Year. Thanks for the podcast. Guys, thank you so much. You guys are the best. Audio listeners, thank you so much. You guys are the meat and potatoes of our viewers and listener base. So thank you so much. Guys, 2023, let's do it. We'll catch you on next week's episode.
See you.